You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberry!
I am your father.
From the ashes of Perfect Picture comes Sharp Angles, a podcast about what happens when a neophyte, a novice, and a fanboy sit down and watch a movie. This week's movie is Iron Man, the start of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Rich Haywood. I'm the fanboy. And I'm here with...
Tanae Haywood, the novice.
And...
Jeanette DeLouis, the neophyte.
All right, awesome. So yeah, guys, we just sat down and watched some Iron Man. So I guess we'll start off with just a little bit of talking about, you know, like what you guys thought of the movie. We'll start with the neophyte and then move on to the novice, and then I'll wrap it up as the fanboy watching it like 8 million times. Tell you guys how I felt about this particular viewing. So Jeanette, like what'd you think?
I liked it. I pretty much liked it from start to finish. I thought it had a really, really strong beginning and captured my attention right from the get-go with great dialogue, lots of snark, which I'm always a fan of, and strong action scenes, except for a few little details that we can get into later. I gave it at least 4.5 stars.
Oh, all right. Out of 5?
Yeah, out of 5.
Wow. All right. Awesome. So I just have a quick question, though. So going into the movie, though, you know, like we've had conversations before.
Yes, we have.
Hence the entire impetus to start this podcast to begin with. You weren't too sure about the Marvel Cinematic Universe going in. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, I had already seen Captain America 2, which I was actually a big fan of, liked it and everything. Cool. But I had, of course, heard about all the other movies. Obviously, you can't be alive in this country without hearing about all of them over the last, decade? How long have they been going on for?
Well, 2008 is Iron Man, so...
Okay,
you know,
so it's been years.
Coming up on a decade, yeah.
Okay. So I did try watching a few of the other ones, including the Avengers, and I really ticked off my brother-in-law, who was absolutely horrified at the idea that anyone could not like the Avengers. In my defense, I only got through maybe 10 minutes, and I just was not interested in it.
Right. Well, this is kind of like the point here. We're going to take that long journey, and we're going to go through each one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 1 movies, and it culminates with you watching the Avengers, so we're going to find out what happens when you get all 2 hours and whatever, 2 hours and 30 minutes or whatever in.
Alrighty.
And we'll see what happens. So that's pretty cool. Alright, so we'll move on to the novice. What'd you think?
So we saw this back in the theater in 2008.
That is correct.
A long time ago. So 7 years ago, and the only reason I know that is because... we also got married in 2008, so we're celebrating our 7-year anniversary. Yeah. I digress, though. So I remember leaving the theater thinking that was the best movie that I had seen in quite a while. And we used to go see a lot of movies back then. Like, we were seeing a movie every other week, sometimes every week.
Yeah. We even had a podcast about it.
Yeah, we did. Sometimes we saw more than one movie in a week. Sometimes we saw 4 movies in a week, in a day, actually. And I ended this movie thinking pretty much the same thing. And I hadn't seen it since we had seen it in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I would agree, it's snarkalicious.
It is.
Which
it's
I
awesome.
Love. And the action is good. And with the exception of a very annoying Gwyneth Paltrow running in a pencil skirt and heels, which I maintain I could do.
No, it's not possible. It's not possible.
And have done. I just generally love this movie. So,
all right, awesome. So, all right, well, it's time for the fanboy perspective, I guess. And going into this, you know, I am a fanboy of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I am eagerly anticipating the arrival of May 2nd. I will be there somehow in a theater watching The Avengers Age of Ultron. So, like, that's going to be awesome. And I actually then can't wait for the subsequent DVD or Blu-ray release so we can then sit down and then have, Jeanette experience the same thing.
Well, and do you know how we got Jeanette on board with doing this? That she found out that the man who plays Red Reddington in The Blacklist.
Oh, is this how it is?
Ultron, yep. In Age of Ultron, and that's when she started contemplating watching movies with us.
That's right, that's right. So, you know,
James Spader's kind of awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's face it.
You throw a little James Spader in any day of the week, and he's a pretty good dude. And consequently, actually,
not
got
a good
me,
dude.
Consequently, got me started watching the Blacklist. So, another great show, but that's, you know, another show. So yeah, so, you know, watching the movie, coming back to it, it's pretty, it holds up. Like, that's what I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I saw it a couple times, like, since the, you know, the DVD release, and obviously in the theater, you know, with Danae's story there. And it's really fun to go back to. In fact, actually, it might spawn some interesting conversation about Iron Man's character when we get to things like the Avengers and the Avengers 2, because, man, do I miss this Tony Stark? Like, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, seeing all the stuff that happens later and knowing that, you know, like, not getting too spoilerific, but knowing the changes that Tony Stark's character makes, it's like, I kind of miss that, like, you know, that I mean, he's always snarky, but he's not like, he gets kind of like mean snarky later instead of just fun snarky. And like, I miss the fun snark.
He's definitely a fun guy in this. Like, you would want to go out to a party with Tony Stark. At least I would. Like, mm-hmm. I'd want to go hang with him. And
for the day.
not the night. Well, you don't know what you would contract if you spent the night with him.
Wow.
He also apparently would not remember your name in the morning, so there's that all.
There is that.
And unless you're Pepper Potts.
She never went to bed with him.
Nope.
Not even a kiss.
Not yet, anyway. so there is that. And he is, like, the guy that you, like, want to throw back with. Like, you want to drink his very expensive bourbon and enjoy his very expensive G6. And
and trade witty barbs.
And trade witty barbs. Mm-hmm. I know that at the end of the day, he doesn't give a crap about you.
But he can still show you a good time.
But he can hang, you know what I
with
mean?
With awesome cars. That orange one, whatever the heck it was, gosh, I wanted it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy it did not get wrecked.
Yeah, he does have a good, great car selection. Yeah,
was that the R8? Was it the R8?
No, the R8 and this one is silver. Oh, okay. I mean, that's the only one he actually drove.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
All the rest of them were just in his garage, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, I'm really kind of disappointed that his personality changes in subsequent movies.
So it's not even so much that it changes, it's just that things get more serious.
Yeah, more at stake.
Yeah, there's
as
more
we go on.
Right. And so that gravitas that his character begins to develop in this film continues because
he's becoming less of a playboy and more of a professional.
Well, and more of a, really a hero, but he doesn't deal with that well. Like, he's not the hero type. And he will say that. Like, he says that in one of the films. Like, I'm not a hero. I never, you know.
And, he says it in this one at the end.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, but yet,
Then he comes right out and says, I'm Iron Man.
But I'm Iron Man.
Forget this.
Because I can't resist the fame that I will get from saying these words.
Right.
Because he's still a playboy at that end of the movie.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
I don't think that core, that playboy core, ever leaves him, to be very honest with you. Like, he, at the end, he is very self-serving, which is what makes him snarky. Like, he gets a lot of satisfaction out of that. Yeah. I don't think that there's a selfless bone in Tony Stark's body.
Which makes him a great character, not a great human being if he was, you know, a real-life person, but a great character, very entertaining.
Like Red Reddington, like, you know, like that he does things for a specific purpose for himself to satisfy whatever it is internally. Mm-hmm. And he is, I think, this guy who, I mean, he embodies all of the things that the uber-wealthy, you know, that we see in the uber-wealthy, that, you know, like that, that...
Capitalist.
Completely, no, it's not even, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but he has that disregard, complete disregard for his own life and safety and the life and safety of others, because I, like, he's been conditioned, or he has conditioned himself to think that he could just get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And ultimately, if you see, like, that scene in the air where he's flying, and the two, like, you have to know, you are a weapons manufacturer. You have to know that the United States Air Force, Navy, and Army are watching the skies. Come on now. Like, he's obviously, like, a genius, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's covered at the beginning of the movie.
I mean, what, he created his first patented gadget at 4 years old?
Yeah, circuit board at 4, yes, yeah. Engine at 6, right. Or, you know. Yeah, this right. Guy knows what
obviously,
he's doing.
Obviously, he's off the charts.
Right. Yeah. So, you are flying through the air in United States airspace in a suit. And you think you're just going to get away with it? Like, come on. Like, there is that complete wantonness in his character that I think that, you know, the same way he drove. Like the way he flies through the air is the same way he drives his cars. Like, his chauffeur is following in the Bentley. He's going 150 miles an hour, pulls up to the airport. Like, it's nothing.
3 hours late.
Right, 3 hours late.
But that brings up a rather interesting point in my mind, at least. Okay, so he's this absolute playboy, has no regard for anyone, even himself when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. He gets kidnapped by terrorists. They tell him, okay, you can save your life by complying with our demands. And he says no.
Right.
Wait, yep. Do you think that that fits into his personality, or do you think that's...
Absolutely.
Really?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
Somebody it works, but at the same time, right. It does seem a little bit unusual. Like, most playboys would be like, oh my word, yes, please don't hurt me. Don't scratch my pretty little face, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
But here's a guy who doesn't want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. Somebody's telling him what to do, and he's like, fuck this. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. You know, like, and there's this guy who's going to help me, and maybe there's a touch of compassion there for him. And as they work together, he becomes more compassionate towards him. You start to see a little bit of the human in Tony Stark.
Right.
But at the same time, now, so he's in the suit and they're chaining him up, and the doctor who saves his life, and, you know, where you get a glimpse when he first gets saved, where Tony first gets saved, get this glimpse of the fact that he's going to, like, throw it all away again. Like, what does it matter? I'm just going to die. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill you. It doesn't matter. F this, right? And then he comes up with a plan, because that's how his brain works. And this doctor who he's sharing time with and in this cave, they built the suit. They make it so that the people can't see in the video. I forgot about that until the very end. And then what happens is he's chained up in the suit, and the doctor goes, I have to buy you some time. I had to buy you some time. And they make it impossible for Tony to sacrifice himself because he's chained up and he can't do anything, right?
Right, right.
But regardless, I am 100% of the opinion that whether or not he had been chained up, he still wouldn't have done anything to save that doctor's life. And you knew from the second he picked up that gun that he was going to a certain death. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Tony, I don't think he would have... I don't think he would have risked the plan, because he's like, stick to the plan. I don't think he would have risked the plan and saving his pretty behind in order to save the doctor.
I'm not sure about that. I can't say I completely disagree with you, but I'm not 100% sure I agree either.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would like to think that Tony would, like, step up and, like, and do that, but I don't know. I mean, like... You mentioned that it was deliberate that they basically had him chained up where he couldn't move. Where, you know, and it's very convenient for the writing team to, like, say, well, he couldn't have done anything because literally he couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in the suit wasn't powered up, he can't physically move it because it's, like, 20,000 pounds or something like that. So he's, you know, he just has to sit and watch, you know, and then reflect on that later, which I think his character does, but, you know, in a weird way.
But not in a way that is... really evident to, I mean, he does to some degree, because that's when he swoops in and he saves the village that the doctor's from.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, later on in the storyline, that you find out that the doctor's home village is being terrorized by the same terrorists who held him captive, very conveniently.
Right.
Actually,
they were really far away. I mean,
that's a valid point. but it's the exact same men, like the same men who held him captive or terrorizing this village, that the doctor's family had been killed, and, you know,
that's the beauty of fiction, though. It can be convenient.
Right, it's very convenient, and he swoops in and he saves the day.
But you realize, though, that it's the same team that was hired by Ozymandias, or not Ozymandias, that's the wrong name. I'm thinking of a DC character now.
Obadiah.
Right. That he hired him, right. He hired those people to kill Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, you know, didn't get the job done. But, you know, that's why you get those, like, those foreshadowing, you know, they're showing as he's walking, being walked into the cell that he resides in, after getting, like, blown up in the Humvee, that there's Stark Industries stuff, like, everywhere. So, you know, they make it very apparent that they somehow there's a connection, but what is the connection? Mm-hmm. We wind up finding out that it's...
Right. And it's apparent, too, that Tony doesn't know about the connection, because he's looking around like, how the heck?
Yeah, like, why is all my gear here?
Why is all my gear here? Because it's clear in the movie, at least at the beginning, when you get the flashback, flash forward, that he's very patriotic. Like, he cares about America to the degree that it serves himself and his interests.
Right.
You know, and he wants to... do his father's legacy proud in the way in which he develops his company to serve America. Like, you know, and Iron Man was originally developed in the 60s, right? You know, like, this was not a modern day story. And so the timeline fits very conveniently in the 40s that Howard Stark was the guy who helped with the Manhattan Project. He helped with all of the stuff with the Nazis, and then brings the industry into the 50s when Tony's born in the 50s, according to canon.
Right.
And then starts in the comic book canon to fight the Cold War, the Russians, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Right.
And so it's interesting how some of the same conflicts are going on with different players, you know. So in a time where it was so important to be patriotic because of the Cold War, now fast forward 40 years. And so then you look at the timeline and you're like, well, his father, according to the movie, still helped with the Manhattan Project, still, you know, now they elongated the storyline so that Tony was born in the 60s because he's in his 40s when the first Iron Man happens. And, you know, so, but the same conflict with different players. Now we have Al-Qaeda. Now we have, and the stakes are higher even than in the Cold War, you know, like there's terrorism on so many levels here. And
right.
So.
And real threats everywhere. Real, like, you know, people everywhere. Are actually like, you know, like not to say that during the Cold War, there wasn't like, you know, reports of people dying, but there wasn't like, you know, like, terrorist attacks every 5 seconds everywhere in the world, and like people are getting blown up. So right. Yeah, the stakes are pretty raised.
And actually, you guys are kind of answering a question that I had during the movie, which was how closely does this storyline follow any of the comic books,
right.
The actual,
you know, the canon. You mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, there are some real creative liberties taken with the source material, but the core elements, I think, to be honest, I think Iron Man. And maybe to some degree, Captain America are the two closest to actual, like, you know, this is how their characters had their origin story, and like this is how their core character functions in the universe, and like, you know, that their attitudes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, to be honest, Iron Man is like, to be very honest, Iron Man is the glue that holds the Marvel Cinematic Universe together. Without him, without Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man,
right.
and that character being portrayed in that specific way, I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of falls apart. Because it's the other characters, they're great. And, you know, obviously you're going to get to see those movies. But, you know, and I hate to be painting such a bright picture of what you're about to see. But I really do think that, you know, it's because of his involvement and that He brings that almost comedic effect to the story without having to be so overbearing and heavy-handed with it.
But he also is sort of the de facto leader, too. Like, it's very strange. Like, of all the people you would pick to be your leader, Tony Stark is, like, the person who you would think... Maybe not.
Right.
Like,
I actually disagree with that completely, because number one, he's been born into a leadership position.
Well, that's true. That's a valid point.
I mean, he knows what to do with money. He knows what to do with himself. Right. He knows how to present information very well, because he's constantly been in the limelight since, again, 4 years old.
Right.
So he knows how to handle himself.
Yep.
But then you have...
I'd follow him.
But then you have someone like Captain America,
yeah.
who is so...
But he's a soldier. He's 1,000% soldier. He's a good soldier who takes orders.
That's a valid point.
All right.
But he's so noble.
He's like, adorable.
Yeah. I mean, he's so noble. Like, mm-hmm. Captain America is so noble. Like, if I were going to take orders from somebody, I'd want it to be the person... Maybe I would want it to be Tony Stark, because honestly, he's going to give the orders that have the highest likelihood of me surviving.
Accomplishing the mission, yes. As long as, I don't know about survival, though. That's all
as
there.
As long as you're with him when the saving of one's life happens, then you're okay. If you're across the battlefield, you might forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, you might be done.
In my design, I do have an advantage over someone like Rich because I'm a woman. So
that's very true. It's very true. You're like, sorry, bro, you got to stay there.
Just as long as you weren't wearing full, you know, uniform and everything with the helmet and stuff, he could notice the lines in the face.
Right. That's right.
If I'm dressed like the Black Widow, we have no issue.
That's true. It's very apparent that the Black Widow is a female. More on that later. but anyway,
so many comments, none appropriate. Keeping my mouth shut on this one.
I mean, and I love that. I love that you got so much amusement out of that. Like, you get the snippet. For those of you who haven't seen it in a while or haven't seen it at all, you should watch it again. But Tony Stark, the movie opens and Tony Stark's in a Humvee. He's with three soldiers who are completely silent, and he's like, snarky barbs left and right. What do you guys like? Are you ordered not to talk? What's going on? You know? And then all of a sudden the woman says, oh, they're intimidated by you. He's like, you're a girl.
And then he instantly starts flirting with her. As soon as he realizes, oh, that's a female, it's like charm comes on even more.
It's over. Yeah. Like, and she is totally falling for it. This big, tough Humvee driver, she is clearly like somebody who has been trained to do this. And she's like falling all over. Well,
and she knows she's being played, and yet at the same time, she's enjoying every second of it.
And she, you know, and so it's such a fantastic way to open. You know, Jeanette brought up that there's not that drag at the beginning. You're not like, there's no sort of sense of this rising action right at the beginning. You're thrown right in, and it's a great ride.
It is, absolutely.
And
you get that lull later on, but by then you're captured, you're captivated, and you're like, okay, I can handle this, I'll keep watching.
Yep. Yeah, well, and I mean, with the exception of possibly one movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
Thor?
I think... Well, no, maybe... Thor even has that kind of stuff.
Avengers 2. We'll get Avengers.
We'll get to that. But all of them have... Well, Avengers has, like, that clicking of all the pieces of the puzzle together. And you'll see it. I swear to God, when you get there, and then by the time you finally see all the movies, you'll go, oh, I get it. That's why they're doing this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And then everything goes click, and then explosion. And then for, like, you know, an hour and a half straight, it's just like everything ever happens.
From, like, a quarter of the way through the movie to the end of the movie, it's like a thrill of a minute kind of ride in the Avengers. Honestly.
It's not that I don't believe you. It's just I'm a bit of a lazy person when it comes to my entertainment. I need to be interested from the very beginning. Well, otherwise, it feels as if I'm wasting my time.
I mean, and I gotta say, like, Iron Man home run. Like,
even Iron Man 2, I don't remember because it's been so long. Like, again, I saw it in the theaters in 2011.
2010 or 2011.
I don't know.
I have the thing here, but it's like I
remember Mickey Rourke. And yes. He plays a Russian, and that's about it.
He does. He does play a Russian.
You know,
Iron Man 2 is good or bad.
Iron Man 2 2010.
So I saw that in the theaters. That's the last time I saw that one. And so it's one of those things, like, I remember that feeling like Iron Man 1 was great. I think I thought Iron Man 2 was even better, but I don't remember 100%.
I think this is like the part where we go, all right, well... When we get there, this is going to be an interesting conversation because I specifically remember Iron Man 2, and I will hold all of my judgment for Iron Man 2, you know, later. Like, you know, good or bad, you know, because I do have some strong opinions about that movie. So I don't know. Like, so we like Iron Man.
Yes.
You know, it's good.
It's a complete It's unanimous.
This is a consensus here. It's a consensus. So, like, to be honest, going into this, I was actually, like, a little frightened for my fanboy. my fanboy flag was going to fly, like, a half mast.
Considering previous conversations we've had on the subject.
Exactly,
because
they're going to bring you in, and it was like, all right, Iron Man. Iron Man was good, right? It was good, right? I remember that. I watched it, like, 8 times. Yeah, it's good. It's a great movie. You know, but I just wasn't sure. We're going to sit down and then watch it together, and then, you know, have you just, like, tear my, like, universe apart. And be like, no, Iron Man wasn't a good movie because this character sucked, and this writing was horrible, the editing was horrible.
You know me well enough to know that I would say whatever.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was afraid of. And I was like, oh, my God. And then we watch it, and, you know, all right, just for the listeners, because, you know, our personal lives aside, I guess, for the podcast, you know, but I'm going to include them anyway. You know, we're sitting down watching the movie, and then I'm going to go get breakfast, right? So I was going to, you know, I've seen this film like eight times. It's not a big deal. So I could just leave. And then I started the movie and then was going to just leave and then couldn't for like 20 minutes. And
I noticed
was like,
that.
I was like, wow, I can't. Wow, that was really good. All right, I'm hooked. And then finally I get to the part where it is a little bit of a lull. I'm like, all right, cool. I know exactly what happens here, so I'm gone. So then I leave and then I come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, it did actually hook me back in, which was great. So I'm actually interested to see, like, you know, as the fanboy, if I'm going to get sucked in to all the rest of them. You know, but I will say, you know, like,
Thor.
we have to have you know, we should hash this out. You know, we've got Iron Man, right? This is the start of Phase One, the first Phase One movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Strong start.
Next movie in the list, right?
All
right.
Thor.
No, it's not. It's the Incredible Hulk. But do we consider, like, I'm going to talk it out on the podcast. You know, do we consider the Incredible Hulk as a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie? Yes or no?
No, because, and I'll tell you why. Because
you don't want to watch it.
I don't want to watch it. Because, you're right. I don't want to watch it. I would almost tell you that I wouldn't consider Thor a movie, but I can't get away with that one. I can get away with The Incredible Hulk, and I'll tell you why. Because Edward Norton in The Incredible Hulk, you get this tremendous backstory in this, like, he's running through China, and that's all I remember. It was so tremendous. Do you remember that much of it?
I don't think it was China.
Somewhere.
Other than the United States.
I'm pretty sure it was, like, Rio de Janeiro.
And he's
South
in
America.
Hoodie.
That is awesome.
He's not China.
Very, very memorable, obviously. And he's in a hoodie. And he's sort of emo.
He is a little emo.
And
yes.
He's Edward Norton, right?
And
he's very Edward Norton in this movie, so he's very Fight Club, very...
Is he Edward Norton in The Avengers, though? It's
no.
This is why it doesn't count. Because very Edward Norton versus Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Come on!
That's what just came out of your mouth.
He's rom-com, though. He is! And so I remember in the very short bit...
Holy shit.
In the very short amount of The Avengers that I saw, I'm convinced that, like, seriously, Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk? For real? No. I could not wrap my head around it.
He changes your mind. He's dotado Mark Ruffalo. Come on now. He's like, dopey. And you don't really believe that he's really that smart because he's Mark Ruffalo.
And he makes this comment about, you know, don't make me mad. Typical Hulk line in the first 15 minutes. And I'm like, seriously, I could care less about making you mad because you're Mark Ruffalo. Bring it on. Let me see your worst. I'm not impressed.
Well, you'll see.
But you have very Edward Norton, very Edward Norton. And then you have Mark Ruffalo. And this is why The Incredible Hulk doesn't count.
Okay.
Because there's such a departure that it's a waste of our time to sit and watch 2.5 hours of backstory that doesn't matter by the time you get to the Avengers.
That's true. That's very true.
Because it's dotado Mark Ruffalo and not Edward Norton.
Right. And you're right. And if you know the story of the Incredible Hulk, if you know his backstory, then you know enough to just go, okay, fine. It's also the reason why in the Avengers, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I know in the Avengers, that's the reason why there's only 5 minutes of Hulk screen time.
Right.
Like, period. But because he's a known quantity at this point.
Right.
There's literally been two origin story movies that, you know, like one that they say counts, and then the other one, which no one likes.
Right.
You know, except for me, because I thought it was cool. Yeah. Well, the Ang Lee just Hulk movie.
Right. The Ang Lee Hulk movie is very different, though.
It is very different.
Than.
But it still tells the same origin story.
Right.
But just in a different way. So, right. You know, the audience has gotten this story over and over again. I mean, but it's the same thing like Batman.
But it's Batman. It's. To some degree, it's Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, it's a very... It's even... You could even say the backstory is very similar to Superman, except that he's from another planet, and the Hulk is a lab accident gone wrong. He could be Dr. Octopus. Or the Green Goblin. Come on. Like, you know, Stan Lee has made, you know, a lot of wonderful characters and develop them very differently. Mm-hmm.
But maybe their backstory not so creative.
But their backstory, right. And to spend 2 hours of very precious Jeep time, I'm just going to tell you, watching Edward Norton play a character that in the end isn't the same character that shows up later on in the universe is just not right. a good use.
I mean, the neophyte has already said that she does not like being bored at all in any way, shape, or form. And I will bow to your opinions on the subject, but
so,
at the same time, I almost feel as if maybe we should watch it. But again, I will...
I
think I slept through it.
I mean,
I slept through it in the theater.
Like, I mean...
That bad. Okay, yeah. In that case, forget everything I just said. I don't want to watch it.
All right. Well, I mean, I as the fanboy am ready to just kind of, like, axe Incredible Hulk, because I think it might derail what I think is to be a good thing in this podcast series, then, you know, like, because it could literally just go, what is this? F the Marvel Universe.
Okay,
you
after know, watching it, I will be so turned off.
Because it's not, it's just not the same.
Okay,
it was
fair
made
enough.
By a completely different production company with a completely different writing staff, with a completely different, like, you know, everything. Everything is completely different, except for the fact that Stan Lee had his imprint on the Incredible Hulk, because it's one of his, like, you know, his near and dears. Like, he really likes the Incredible Hulk, he really likes Iron Man, he really likes Spider-Man, he really likes Captain America, like, you know,
okay.
Like, all the core characters, so, you know, they're his babies. You know, so, like, don't do wrong by my babies, I want to make sure that everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, he signed off on it, and he got his blessing, but, you know, I don't know, no offense to Stan Lee, but he's getting old. So, like, they might have sold him...
Like, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
You know, they might have sold him a little on The Incredible Hulk. And be like, oh, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to be great action moments, blah, blah, blah. And they show him a couple trailers, and he's like, Excelsior, go! You know, like he usually does. And then, you know, the movie comes out, and it's like, eh, all right. You know, but it's not like... It doesn't hook you. Like,
okay.
You know, like, the Marvel... I'll say this about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'll probably say 18 million more times now. But... It is literally developed specifically to keep your butt in the seat and your eyes on the screen at all times. You know, like, whether or not it's a soft moment or, maybe even a slightly boring moment, you still got to get through it because you have to know what happens at the end.
Right.
You know, you have to. Like, once you get hooked, once you get the Iron Man hook, you're in. Like, that's it. Like, you know, I think that's why we need to strike Incredible Hulk off. Because...
But what comes after that is the question.
Iron Man 2.
Okay, so we're good with that.
Because I will flat out say at this point, even after, again, 4.5 stars for Iron Man, I really liked it, but I can't imagine sitting through Avengers and actually being entertained at this point, even knowing what I know about Tony Stark and his, you know, superhero persona.
It's all valid. I'm with this because, alright, so we have to get through a little bit of a slog. Right? To get there. And, you know, yeah, I'm the fanboy. You can come and, like, flame me at, I don't know, whatever. We don't even have an email address yet. So, rich@baconicecream.com is the email address that you can send all your hate mail to. We'll get to that. Maybe if you send enough hate mail, we'll, like, read it on the next podcast or something.
I don't know. The hate mail might be about me for saying I don't like the Avengers.
I mean, or it could be me for just saying, like, all right, we're going to watch Iron Man 2, and I think... You know, like if I was gonna predict reactions based on what you just saw, you know, you said 4.5 for Iron Man 1. I'm gonna go with like 3.5 to 4 for Iron Man 2. Is my early prediction. You know, we'll see if I'm wrong. You know, we can review it and then talk about that later. Thor, I don't know. I think it's in the 2 territory at best. But you got to get it. You have to get Thor. You have to get it in there because. why bother caring about Loki in the Avengers if you haven't seen Thor?
That's a valid point, but I think I slept through Thor, too. or most of it. He's so insipid. So, now, you saw...
But wait. Don't get too much into
Thor. No, I know. But, so, Jeanette... And now, there might be more hate mail.
What are you about to say about me?
Jeanette went to see...
Captain America,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
you saw Guardians.
I saw it in theater, right, yeah. And I was really looking forward to it. Also,
all right,
and didn't like it.
It's not that I hated it. I just thought that there were so many plot holes, and
I mean, there were,
so many. It didn't make sense.
But so, if you want to take
that's gonna be an interesting movie when we do this
character from the. You know, because it's the Space Avengers is what Guardians of the Galaxy are.
The Space Avengers.
So if you want to compare a character from the Avengers to a character from Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor is freaking Drax. And he is...
He kind of is.
And because of that, he's like... And obviously he's more attractive than Drax is. But I guess according to popular culture anyway... But he's just so flat. He's just such a flat character. Like, I have a hard time caring about him because I find him insipid. I do. I find him completely and utterly insipid.
But here's the thing. Like, you know, as we go from... I mean, I agree with you on certain points about Thor because I think he's a very flat character and he's kind of like... He's the meathead of the Avengers, you know? Like, other than the Hulk. The Hulk is the ultimate meathead. But it's ironic because the Hulk... is a physicist. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a smart man. You know, Thor is kind of like the whiny brat that wants all the cool accolades from his father and he wants like the attention and all this other stuff, you know, but Loki, his brother, is the smart one. And then he really gets all the attention to the point where the guy goes overboard. But that's, again, so basically, you know, we're getting there.
Thor is Tony Stark without the charisma.
he might be. Well, and with maybe, I don't know, like, sorry about that, Thor. I mean, maybe without the intelligence. he knows hammer hits head goes boom. You know, that's what he knows. So you know,
which I'm sure is useful in certain situations.
He's the muscle. Yeah,
he is the muscle.
Exactly.
He's
the muscle. And, and a pretty pair of pretty set of abs.
I guess I don't see it.
My older sister does. Let me tell you,
Natalie Portman sees it. So she's incredibly flat in that too. And I mean,
she was incredibly flat in everything.
A lot of stuff.
I mean,
her performance in...
Queen Amidala, come on. Like, no. That's another one. Oh. Anyway.
Slightly off topic here.
So, Iron Man 2, and then we have Thor. We have to get through Thor. Right.
And then we go Captain America, which is, like, is the movie that I want to love. But can't help not loving.
I have already heard that it's boring as hockey stick.
It's just like I love Captain America's character, and I really like I'm forgetting Chris his name now.
Chris Pine.
No, seriously. Although Chris Pine, isn't he going to be in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie?
Are you serious?
Soon? I think maybe.
No.
Fact-checking squad, go and find out and then email me hey mail. I think he's actually going to get involved in some of the later films.
Oh, no way.
But, oh my god, what the hell is the guy's name? It plays Agent Smith.
Agent and Elrond. Smith?
Yeah.
Oh.
Agent Smith, Elrond.
Oh, yeah.
Crap. Hugh Weaving.
Yes,
Hugo Weaving. Alright, so I really like Hugo Weaving. And he plays Red Skull in the villain. He plays the villain in Captain America.
Okay.
But it's just like, I don't know. Like, I can't get into either of them. You know, because they overdo the Steve Rogers, like, gung-ho America. And, like, then there's, like, they don't do enough of the evil from the Red Skull. I guess they were trying to, like...
They were trying to, I think, be politically...
Yeah, they didn't want to, like, Red Skull's a Nazi, so, you know, like, that's delicate ground now in American cinema. I mean, you can make him evil, but you have to make him almost comically evil, because if you make him evil, where he's, like, like literally like destroying people and like, you know, all this other stuff, and there's like swastikas everywhere, and all, you know, people will just throw up their hands in there and go, what the hell is this?
Right.
You know, so you know, it's almost like you can't do that. But well, I wish they did, because it would have made Captain America a better movie, because then you would have had like supreme evil against the supreme good, and the right. supreme good will win because okay. it's Captain America.
It's kind of interesting though, and again we're so off topic at this point, it's kind of interesting that they were too PC with the first movie, because they were not with the second one.
Yes,
and the writers flat out said that they went and polled the American public in order to figure out what the American public was concerned about,
right.
national security wise, and they said drones, and so that is why they based the movie on the topic that they did.
Yep. So I haven't seen the second. I'll be the neophyte.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not going to be the neophyte, Rocket.
I'm going to be the neophyte in Captain America Winter Soldier, because I haven't seen it.
So,
because I was a little worried about the dark moodiness and
falling asleep in the theater.
Oh, jeez.
But I will say that, you know, in terms of, like, what's coming in upcoming, and I don't want to spoil too much either, but Captain America, like, you almost get this sense that the Nazis, like, they're almost impotent in Captain America. And
right.
So, they're, like, and they were not. Like, it's such an injustice to the storyline, especially since Captain America was developed to instill that sense of patriotism.
Yep.
You know, like, that was the purpose of his character. He
was it really first written during the...
I believe.
Oh, yeah. America was, like, a really old character.
It was,
like, you know, in the grand pantheon of superheroes, there was Superman, you know, and then there was, like, you know, like early shots at, like, early DC Universe characters, and then there was Captain America.
Right.
You know, like, you know, Marvel's kind of, like, shot across the bow as, like, Captain America, right. and then Iron Man, and then Incredible Hulk, and then the more fantastical character. But Captain America was, like, one of the forefronts. Like, he was, like, you know, Marvel Universe at some point.
And developed to help the war effort.
Yeah.
And,
so it was propaganda, then.
Yeah, it was total propaganda.
Yep.
Fascinating.
And, like, there are points in the movie where you're going to see him go, and he's going to be this guy who, like, goes and inspires the troops and the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, he embodies the character, the comic book character that was developed specifically to do that thing.
Yep.
And so...
Yeah, he, like, joins the USO and, goes on the shows and stuff. Yeah. It's cool.
And so, and that part is very cool, because it's sort of... So, talking about fiction revealing parts, aspects of life, and, you know, this is a part that has a clear snapshot of what actually happened during that period in time, and it's sort of a lovely snapshot in terms of how it inspired, you know, not that it was, the end result was wonderful, because lots of people died, and, you know, I don't know, and... liberal media would tell you that war is not the answer, and, you know, whether it is or it isn't, it is a nice picture of how the American propaganda machine worked to bolster Allied forces, you know, and a really nice depiction of how comic books, who most people, or some people, I don't know, think are sort of useless and a waste of time and money and all of that, really do impact, you know. And so, you know, because there are times where you see the soldiers reading the Captain America comic book and, like, the vintage storyline, like, from that era.
Oh, see, that actually really makes me kind of sad, because I feel as if they could have made a great movie that was both entertaining and educational and historically accurate, and they kind of failed at it.
Well, I mean, but maybe not. Mm. You know, again, you're hearing, like secondhand opinions on stuff that we've seen, like, what, a couple years ago, maybe? And, you know,
I've heard other people say the same thing.
Right,
now.
And we might have been disappointed because it wasn't Iron Man 2 or Iron Man, and that was the thing. But maybe time passing, you know, and some pre-knowledge about the character, maybe when I watch it again, I'll feel differently. But again, that's the whole point of this, right?
Yeah.
You know, try to see, like, you know, what kind of differences that people have about these films when we watch it. But that brings me to the point where I guess we'll start, like, you know, wrapping it up and stuff.
Yeah.
where it's not just maybe the Marvel Cinematic movie universe, but maybe just movies in general. So, you know, Sharp Angles, the podcast, you know, hopefully you guys are still with us and listening, and for that we thank you. You know, it is going to be a podcast where it's like kind of like a grand, like, you know, mini social experiment with, you know, three or more people that'll sit down and watch some movies together and then talk about them. You know, and it'll be in a sense where it could be any movie. It could be a movie that I've never seen before, so I'm not the fanboy. You know, someone else will be. You know, and then, you know, like, we'll talk about that as, you know, as me as the neophyte or even the novice. You know, and we'll have discussions about other movies that might not have anything to do with comic books or anything like that. You know, that at that point, like, when as we go down and do some more of these shows, maybe we'll start reaching out to the audience. Maybe the audience will pick a movie for us.
Sure.
You know, like, maybe we'll have a podcast where we're all the neophyte. You know, like, hey, go watch this movie. I'm like, I don't know, I guess, sure, let's watch a movie, and then we'll have a discussion about it. You know, but, you know, in general, we'll definitely continue to press on and journey down the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then, you know, see where it goes from there. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else? Or
I'm just going to do a shameless plug and say that today's podcast was brought to you by No Nut Butter Cups.
All right. No Nut Butter Cups are amazing.
Can it really be a plug if you're not getting any money off of it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, if you or someone you know has peanut butter allergy, write to this guy at Rich Haywood. Rich at
BaconIceCream.com. Trust me, guys. There'll be a proper, you know, podcast at whatever.com. At email address, you can email next time. I'll do better pre-work.
Only $5 for the recipe, by the way.
Or, you know, a dozen. I could make them to you and send them to you.
There you go.
Like, free No Nut Butter Cups in the mail. I mean, what better thing to keep on listening to this podcast than
I was going to say, not completely free. You'd have to promise to tune in next time in order to get them.
That's right. Yeah. So you have to tune in next time in order to actually know how to do this. All right? So we'll give you the instruction to get free No Nut Butter Cups sent to your home. On the next episode of sharp edges or sharp angles. Sharp angles.
They're like peanut butter cups. The name of our podcast. But they're allergen free, in case you were wondering.
Alright.
Which has everything to do with Iron Man.
With Iron Man, yes.
Because, you know, little known fact about Iron Man, he has a peanut allergy.
That's right. Yeah. How do you ever survive? Peanuts.
Like his kryptonite.
Yes. All right, so I guess until next time, thanks for listening to Sharp Angles. I'm Rich Haywood, fanboy.
Danae Haywood, the novice.
And Jeanette DeLouis, the neophyte.
All right, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye, guys.